ଗୌରାଧନାର କୁଲ ବିହାରି ଗୌରାଧନାର କୁଲ ବିହାରି ବିଲ୍ଲଭ ଗିରିବର ଥାରି ଗୋପୀଜନ ବଲ୍ଲଭ ଗିରିବର ଥାରି ଈଶ୍ୱର ନିନ୍ଦନ ପ୍ରଜନ ରଞ୍ଜନ ଈଶ୍ୱର ନିନ୍ଦନ ବ୍ରଜନ ରଞ୍ଜନ ରାମନ କୀରବନ ଚାରି ରବନ ଚାରି ଗୌରାଧନାର କୁଲ ବିହାରି ଗୌରାଧନାର ଜନ ବଲ୍ଲଭ ଗିରିବର ଧାରି ଜନ ବଲ୍ଲଭ ଗିରିବର ଧାରି ଈଶ୍ୱର ନନ୍ଦନ ବ୍ରଜ ଜନ ରଞ୍ଜନ ରାମନ କୀରବନ ଚାରି ରାମନ କୀରବନ ଚାରି
ପରମହଂସ ପରିବ୍ରାଜ କାଚାର୍ଯ୍ୟ ଅଷ୍ଟୋତ୍ତରିଷ୍ଟ ଶ୍ରୀ ସୀମାରେ ଶ୍ରୀ ଭକ୍ତି ବିରାନ୍ତ ସ୍ୱାମୀ ପ୍ରଭୁ ପାଦ କି ଜୟ ଗ୍ରନ୍ଥରାଜ ଶ୍ରୀମଦ୍ ଭାଗବତଂ କି ଜୟ ନିତାୟ ଗୌର ପ୍ରେମାନନ୍ଦେ ହରି ହରି ବୋ ସମବେତ ଭକ୍ତ ବୃନ୍ଦ କି ଜୟ ଆଗୋ ଶ୍ରୀ ଅସମ୍ମଦ ଭାଉଚି ଆଗୋ ଶ୍ରୀ ଅସମ୍ମଦ ଭାଉଚି ଆଗୋ ଶ୍ରୀ ଅସମ୍ମଦ ଭାଉଚି ଆଗୋ ଶ୍ରୀ 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 ଗୁରୁ ଗୌରାଙ୍ଗ ନମୋ ଭଗବତେ ବାସୁଦେବାୟ ନମୋ ଭଗବତେ ବାସୁଦେବାୟ ଓଁ Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verses 28 and 29. 28 word meanings, Krishnasya, of Krishna, Gopya, all the gopis, Ruchiram, very attractive, Diksha, observing, Kaumara Chapalam, the restlessness of the childish pastimes, Shrimvantyaha, just to hear them again and again, Kila, indeed, Tatmatu, in the presence of his mother, Iti, thus, Ha, indeed, Uchu, said, Samagataha, assembled there. Krishnasya Gopyaruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Krishnasya Gopyaruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Krishnasya Gopya Ruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Krishnasya Gopya Ruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Krishnasya Gopya Ruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Krishnasya Gopya Ruchiram Viksha Kaumara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Ladies Krishnasya Gopya Ruchiram Vishwakamara Chapalam Shrimvantya Kila Tanmatu Iti Hochu Samagata Translation, observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood to hear about Krishna's activities again and again would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. Purport, Krishna's activities are always very attractive to devotees. Therefore, the neighbors who were friends of Mother Yashoda informed Mother Yashoda of whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Mother Yashoda, just to hear about the activities of her son, stopped her household duties and enjoyed the information given by the neighborhood friends. Text number 29. We're switching to a different meter here, which is not Brahma Samhita, and I'm not sure how to chant it. So, Vatsanam chan kuchit asamaye krusha sanjata hasaha Stayam swadhyatyata dadhipaya kalpitai staya yogai Navakan bhokshan vibhajati sachinati bhangan vimakti Tovya labhe sagriha kupito yatyupakrosya tokan So now Madame Mohan Prabhu will read the translation of purport to this verse and give the class.
Okay, the translation from verse 29. Our dear friend Yasoda, your son sometimes comes to our house before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them, and when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will become angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children began to cry, Krishna goes away. Purport. The narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Yasoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when the mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time, and naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the cowherd men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here's Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee and enter another house where he would again devise some means to steal butter and curd. When the cowherd men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here's that butter thief, better capture him," they would be angry, but Krishna would simply smile, and they would forget everything. Sometimes in their presence, he would begin eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter since his belly is always full. But he would try to eat it, or else he would break the pots distribute the contents to the monkeys. In this way, Krishna always engaged in mischief making. If in any house he would not find any butter, curd to steal, he would go to a room and agitate the small children sleeping there by pinching them. And when they cried, he would go away. Om Agyanata Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksus Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jatam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Mater Gati Mat Sarvasa Padambojo Radha Madanono. So of course we know about when they milk the cows, the cows will give more milk if they see their calf. So they would move the calf close by the mother cow, and she would just, we see that even in the human species, whenever the mother would anticipate seeing the child, the milk would start to flow. So as soon as they saw the baby calf, the milk would drop into the lower part of the udder, and they would milk the cow. And then at the end, when it's almost all finished, the last part's a little hard to get out, they would let the cows loose to finish up, the calves loose to finish it up. So, but you wouldn't let them out loose in the beginning because they need to drink all the milk. And then, of course, they tell us that if they did that, it would be too much milk for the calf. They say. So And both of these pastimes, I was noticing that everybody here was enjoying it very much. We were chuckling. But this is because we've gone through the previous 9 cantos and the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, if someone just walked in off the street and said, you're talking about a village boy doing pranks, what's the big deal? You know, why is everybody... This is the topmost understanding that you have. In fact, I had that one time. I was visiting Baltimore, in the 70s, around 1978 or something like that. I had a friend of mine, Nahari, used to also live there. And we were invited over to talk to a group of rabbis. So we went over. And they took out this Chaitanya Charitamrita and similar pastimes. In fact, I think it was similar pastimes to this where Krishna was urinating on the floor and things like that. And you're saying, so they took this and said, you're saying this is God? This is your conception? And they're kind of bhairagis and austere and gyanis. And they didn't have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So... The fact here, we're learning about perfecting hearing. This is what's happening here. We're perfecting the hearing process. And we're seeing this because, Brajabhadu, we're following in the footsteps of the gopis, Madhya Yasoda, older gopi. We're following in their footsteps because Lord Chaitanya said theirs is the most perfect form of worship. And a lot of our particular worship is hearing. Punya Shravanam Kirtanam, it's pious. That's what becoming purified. So this particular point, I thought it would be nice to emphasize a little bit exactly how that develops to when someone would just walk in the door, their type of hearing, to our hearing, the hearing that's evolved by process that Prabhupada has laid out. Actually, his process, Prabhupada's the practice sadhana is a practice that'll give you subject, the result. So here's the result, is this perfect hearing. So I thought of a verse here. It's always a catchy verse. The way that it is. In fact, I almost got it memorized just by thinking of it today. Kind of a funny first word here. Shoo-shoo-show. Kind of rolls around a little bit, which means one who is engaged in hearing. Okay. Shoo-shoo-show. Shraddha-danya. Danya is, you're giving something, right? It's like charity. Shraddha, what are you giving? You're giving your faith. You're hearing with faith. Shushusha, Shraddha, Danya. Oh, here it's translated, with care and attention. So this attention, this is also how one of the ways that Prabhupada talks about faith. Ato Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajanakriya, that list, if you look up Shraddha, Prabhupada would also say that attentiveness, respect, so you're giving attentive, submissive hearing, and that's faith. And then it takes you to association of devotees. So in association of devotees, you hear a little bit more, and then something starts to happen. The next stage, which is Shushudan, Vasudev Katha Ruchi. So in the verse today, it mentioned Ruchi. Where was it? Ruchira. Krishnara, what is it?
Krishnasya Gopya Ruchira.
Now, what's that mean?
I think it meant that the gopis are very beautiful.
Well, here it says, all the gopis very attentively observing, okay, restless pastimes. Shravataya, just to hear again and again. So they're also hearing again and again very attractively. Yes, they're very attractive. All the gopis. So
Prabhupada would also say, if you dress the deity, then the reflection is also dressed. So when you hear about Krishna, you're becoming Krishnized, and your qualities develop. So I got too many thoughts running through my head. I'm almost, maybe I better hold it. I said, oh, so what happens when you, this beginning faith, one serves Srila Prabhupada, serves the spiritual master. And what happens when you serve the spiritual master? You have some shraddha. So then you serve. So it was shraddha, bhajanakriya. So after this bhajanakriya, you get anartha nivritti and ruchi. So that's the part that we're dealing with mostly in our lives. How to make that transformation. Most of us have material desires that may still be there. Who could think? So how does one get free from material desires? Would anybody like to be completely free from material desires? Anybody?
Oh, yeah, maybe a couple people. Yeah.
All right. I looked. All right. So this verse is number 16, 1 to 16. So number 1 to 17 tells you what happens. And the purport to 16, which was the Shushu Shro Shradanya Vasudev Kata Ruchi. And the next word after that, after Ruchi, is Svat, S-V-A-T, long A. Who knows what that word means? All right. Is made possible. So this is a key that will unlock the whole mystery here. So I'll read the purport, leave you in suspense any longer, the attention span. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from vice, a great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. So, you know what the word is for affinity? Ruchi. Okay, so let's take a look at that for a minute. In the English word, there's a word effect. All right, so everything has an effect. But you know where the word, if you make it into a noun, you know what the word is with a noun ending on it? Affection. Hey, you're good. Okay. So affection. So the affection that you have will have an effect. Everything, you don't mind me playing a little like that. So our affection is what, even in that verse it says, by acquiring a taste for hearing about the Absolute Personality of Godhead, that taste will lead you. So we're being led by our taste, we're being led by our affection will give us an effect. And we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts right off in the beginning with Arjuna, and he says, let's clear a couple things up. First of all, you're not this body. Never was there a time you did not exist. And then he explains how there's another world. You don't belong to this one. This one's just going to give you trouble. You have another, there's another world where everything is sat, Yum, Tat, Om, Tat, Sat. It possesses Sat, Sat, Yum, truth. And Sat, Chit, it's full of perfect knowledge, which in devotee understanding, that means bhakti, because how can you understand Krishna without bhakti? So it means Sat, Chit, bhakti, and Ananda. So we're getting the effect of hearing about Krishna. So it says, how do you get a taste for hearing? The taste for hearing is gain. You gain an affinity, an affection, an affinity. And the effect is the next verse. Listen to this verse. Sri Krishna, who is the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his message. Is such message, which are in themselves victorious when virtuous, when properly heard and chanted. So here's how you get rid of material desires, since they are so troublesome, especially for us, because we understand where they go. It's not so bad if you don't know where they go. Then you can at least have some enthusiasm. But if you know where they're going and you know what the result's going to be, how can you have enthusiasm? So you're being pushed by them, and then nobody likes to be pushed around by their senses. So we have to find out, how do you get the strength? And of course, that strength is the ruchi. And how do you get the ruchi? That's the secret. By service to the spiritual master. That sharpens the sword of knowledge. That does everything. So the engagement that you have, you see that this engagement will give you a result. And then there's many other verses, and he says, what is the use? Because Vyasadeva, who's writing this, he was chastised by Narada Muni about saying all these other things that you can get. So just to clear all the other things that you may have in mind, you know, sometimes you have some other lingering ideas of maybe you'll need something else, maybe, you know, there's some other aspect that won't be covered in Krishna consciousness. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 28, obtaining the Supreme? So that's what we're all working on. We're obtaining the Supreme. Our process is hearing, chanting, remembering, but the hearing has to be done with this affection, like we're all doing today. We're laughing at these cute, wonderful pastimes, and Krishna is so pleased with that. So text number 28 says, for a person who has accepted the path of devotional service. Okay, so we understand with our intelligence, there's nothing that comes close to doing this for a way to get through this life. Prabhupada would say, chant Hare Krishna, and somehow or other, get through this life. Because it throws us many a curve. So it says, a person who accepts a path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas. So should just study the Vedas? It's included. Performing austere sacrifices. Well, most of us aren't too inclined to that. But that's also included. Don't worry about it. You'll get the result of all those. You know, every once in a while you see some tyagi, somebody who's really renounced, and you have, it's a little attractive. How can that person live without anything? Well, they're tough and hard-hearted usually. But anyway, giving charity. So you also get the result of giving charity. So what else you get? Pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. So even if you pursue fruitive activities, that's also included. You don't have to do anything else. Prabhupada would say sometimes, if you have $1 million, all your $10 problems are solved. Unless you really got a lot of them. But I mean, all generally it's understood that if you get a large sum of money, if all the, what's it that the great reservoirs of water will take care of all the same, will give you enough water to take care of all your small needs that you have. Just like you go to a well to get a little water maybe to wash your clothes or to drink, but if it's a great reservoir of water, it'll take care of all your needs. So Krishna is saying, don't be devoted to anything else. Those are also included. So what else? Giving charity, performing philosophical, fruitive activities, simply by performing devotional service, he obtains all these, everything. So how do we say it in the Guru Puja? Yay. I always like that one because I cross languages a lot. Yay prasade. Yay prasade with this wonderful mercy. Yay. Yay prasade puri sarva asha. That all of your desires will be taken care of. So when we say that prayer every day, even though everybody knows Sanskrit and I, we usually don't get along, but I pick out a couple words from each thing that we're, each prayer that we say, that Prabhupada put, just so you can remember a little bit of what we're doing here. Just like here we read about this 1-2-16. You get an affinity for hearing. That's a boon. That's the boon from service that you get, is this affinity for hearing. And Yasha Prashada, Bhagava Prashada, if the spiritual master's pleased, he gives you the mercy to advance. And what is the mercy to advance is that you become interested in hearing more. In fact, we long for that. When will that day be when I'll be eager to study the books left by the Goswamis? But not just hearing it, but applying it, because Krishna is this literature. He's already appeared to us. Krishna's appeared to us in the deity form to accept your service. And we see here, this is not an ordinary temple here. This is extraordinary. If you travel all around, very rare to ever find deities so wonderfully cared for. And what do you see? You're seeing manifest love, because it's a very hard thing to put into words. So Prabhupada, he puts it into words, devotional service. He says that's how you say it. Otherwise, you can, word cheaters, they change meanings all the time. They slip another meaning into the word. So he gives you the definition of love by devotional service. So we're seeing the transmission of that love that Prabhupada has brought. Where did he get it from? Where does he get, does spiritual master have Krishna? Because sometimes I would say, we say Krishna, so I would, Radha Krishna, so I say Radhas Krishna. We're learning about the Krishna that we only see when he's with Radharani. So we're learning also Prabhupada's Krishna. So this, so we ask Prabhupada, can you give us Krishna? He's, because you have got Krishna. The spiritual master has got Krishna, and he can give him to you. So how's Prabhupada giving Krishna to us? He's giving Krishna to us in the books. In the books he's translated, in the deities, in the service. So Krishna's already appearing to us, but you need to have the eyes, the heart to see that. And just like Sesha Prabhu very nicely pointed out in his class, I like that one about the string, the sympathetic strings. So even if you're just next to the string that's vibrating, you also vibrate. So I was thinking of that transmission of how that works, because some strings next to a string, they don't vibrate. So you have to be tuned a little. So that tuning is the paradukaduki. You know, the paradukaduki. Or I think in English, a word that's quite similar to that is like empathy. You empathize. You're tuning in the way that other person's existence is. So, and you're actually being able to resonate what they're saying, and you may even repeat it back to them so they can hear that you're correctly tuning. You know, like with a guitar, I guess, and other instruments, they put this little device on there and they tune it. So it goes from red to green when it's tuned right. Do, re, mi, fa. So they get to, they tune things correctly. So you repeat it back what the other person was saying to see if you're in tune, if you got your resonating on the same frequency correctly. So that paradukaduki, we start to develop that feeling. It's a sensitivity, it's another sense. So when you see someone else, you can more or less understand the effect of their affection. And in Bhagavata, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction that everybody is being moved by a force. There's some force that moves the philanthropic person, that moves the mother. We were just hearing about yesterday so nicely about mothers. Affection, how they do everything with affection, and that affection is what they're learning about. they're learning about that it's not always reciprocated, so then it becomes, what do you call that, when it's, you don't depend on the result, unconditional. Unconditional. It's not, it's no longer reactive. It's on a, it's solid. No matter what happens, they don't change. Their affection doesn't change, even though it's unrequited at times, or it's harsh, or there's some different reactions. One is learning that. So Krishna, he explains, okay, to get you started in that, perform some sacrifice. Do it for someone else. Do it for a higher cause. And then brings you into the idea of duty. Do it with, that helps us with the conditioning, that it's not conditional. So these, is the sadhana. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, all that's inauspicious in the heart is practically, just practically. Now, does practically mean in that sense that it's actually happening in a practical way, or is it practically meaning that it's almost,
so,
pray. What is it?
Practical way.
Practical way. So if you hear this Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, then all the other stuff, the dirt that's in the heart, it's being taken away. Prabhupada, to give us more and more confidence and patience, he would say, like, a drop of water wears away a stone. So you put a drop of water on a stone, what are you going to see? Nothing. It's not going to do a thing. You can hit it with a blast of water. It doesn't look like it's doing anything. But if you look at it carefully enough, it's actually wearing it away. And then, give it a little time, you have, when I was a young boy, I lived up north, and there's a place called Luray Caverns. I don't know if anybody here has been to it in the Shenandoah Valley. The most exquisite caverns, 100 feet tall, big caverns underneath with these big stalactites and stalagmites and clear lakes, and it's all from a drop of water wearing away the stone. So this process of hearing, it's because sometimes, you know, devotees, we sometimes feel a little, it's taking so long. Why we still have these material desires and different things like that. But what I've noticed, if you indulge me on this, is it's a part of Vipalamba Seva. Lord Chaitanya is training us up in this mood of service and separation. So we're serving, but we're in a mood of separation from our own self. When will my heart be pure? When will I not have any more of these material desires? But at this stage, they have such a nice utility because we get to use them to pray for. We say, Krishna, all these material desires, I don't want these anymore. Since I've come in contact with you, then these material desires, they just seem like a really unfortunate situation in life. So how many impetuses of prayer do we get every day? My material desires coming back into our mind. All we have to do is apply to Krishna consciousness, remembering Prabhupada's words, Krishna's words, like he says, one who's undisturbed by the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but still in himself, he alone achieves peace, not the one who strives to satisfy them. So we recognize him, we understand, Krishna explains there's two natures. You, unfortunately, have become conditioned by the wrong one that's going to cause you problems when you're in it, when you're trying to get out of it. It's always causing you problems. But as I was pointing out earlier, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, which is for one who can just, our process is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So when any situation comes up, this is your impetus to remember Krishna. And then we can see that we're appreciating Krishna's pastime so much, even though this is the 10th canto. So all the processes are working, and it's almost to nil. So at this point, it's not really karma, these material desires. These are impetuses for prayer, because this This is the opportunity that we're given now by using Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. This is where we can say, I don't want this anymore. Unless we do, then we could be getting into trouble. So we talk about there's 10 offenses, you know, and then you have to hear more. And because, just like if you're at a doctor and he says, well, we got you almost free from cancer. You only got a little left. Who would be happy with that? No, because what happens? It'll just keep growing. It grows on its own rate. It's not controllable. So if you let, it says that the mind and material desires are something like a wild tiger. Nice, huh? So sometimes, if you've ever gone to these zoos and places, I was up in one in Oregon, and they brought out this like 10-week-old Siberian tiger. Beautiful. He was like white instead of reddish with the stripes. And he was just so cute. But he was very dangerous. Everybody was just they wanted to, you know, snuggle and give him a hug. You know, he's just a teddy bear. He's just such a cute little, and he's making these noises. And he's swatting at everything, you know. They're dragging him along, you know, you're on show now. Look good, you know, and they kept feeding him. So, sometimes the mind cooperates, and you think, well, now it's become my friend, so I can let it out of the cage, and I can listen to it. But you know what usually happens to those trainers, you know, Born Free? Anybody remember that movie? Is that too long ago now? Wonderful theme song, Born Free. And it's talking about this lady who took care of all these lions and tigers. Well, one of them came back and ate her, so that's... the moral of the story is, however cute and fuzzy, they may become, and you don't trust it. The mind has its nature, and that's just what it does, and we've identified it. Just like we have two speakers up here, and out of these speakers, the sound is coming. It's always coming from those speakers. But who has the microphone? You have to see, even though internally we have the voice is coming, so we have one set of speakers inside this voice that's in our head, so to speak. But who's got the microphone? Who's talking? Right? Different people have this microphone. We just had that with 10 people today talk through this microphone. So in our mind, we have to see who's got the microphone. So Lyric Appealer Dave, he tells you how to identify who's got the mic. So you can know if you should listen to this one or not, because your mind is the one that your mother has warned you about not associating with. You know, she would, you don't associate with this one. It sounds nice, but the first one's free. But it won't be good for you. So we recognize who's got the microphone. So, do you know how he said we can recognize who's got it? Does anybody remember Lord Kapila's teachings on that point? Oh, we got one. You've been doing good here. You want to give him the microphone? Oh, you too. Well, you haven't spoke so far, so it's your turn. Well, how do you tell the intelligence from the mind? That's the thing. See, they both talk inside. Super soul talks inside. Intelligence talks inside. So how do you tell who's got the mic? Right now, if someone's on the internet, they don't know who's got the mic. All right. They may tell by your voice.
A couple things come to mind or intelligence. One is that Kapila Dev says that when one is attracted to activities of the three modes of nature, then he's in Maya. But then when he's similarly attracted to Krishna, then he's liberated.
Oh, so okay.
And then he also says that the activities of intelligence are discussion of an object, identification of an object, sleep, memory.
You're getting a little too technical.
Okay.
I'm keeping it simple for us. K-I-S. I think I'll stop there. So that if it's recommending sense gratification, it's the mind. Because the mind is the spokesman for the senses. It's the elected representative of the senses. So it's going to recommend fruitive activities to you. So if the next one, if it's in order, above that is the intelligence. And the intelligence says, I've been getting the mercy of Krishna, 10-10, tesam satatam yuktanam. And he says, that path of sense gratification, Lord Rishabh Dev, he says, that's not the one to take. That one won't take you to, that takes, you know where it takes you? It throws you for a loop. That's called the loop of samsara. And you just run after sense gratification, and you go through 8,400,000 species loop. Is that a good loop? No, that's not a good, well, it's good in the sense that it's an intense one, but it's not actually good for us. So then the intelligence, if it's in order, sometimes it's out of order, it's below the intelligence, and sometimes it's out of order that it's just broken, you know. So when your intelligence, how do you get the intelligence? You have to keep your intelligence, you sharpen it. You sharpen it by the sword of service, favorable service to the spiritual master. Then you have the sword, then you have your intelligence. So in the mind, who comes off like this cute little tiger you just want to embrace, he's so cute. But the next moment, how about even kittens, cats? Cats, you don't play with cats, cats play with you. And they're really serious all the time. And all of a sudden you walk away and you look at your arm and it's bleeding. they all of a sudden they just, I don't know if anybody's had cats, but they sometimes they just do that. They just, they're not into you today, so they just, you're bleeding. So anyway, they're like that. So the mind, it can just, you have as a pet, all be nice, you play with the cat, but the next moment, you know, there you are, engaged in fruitive activity, your intelligence became bewildered. So you have to keep your intelligence sharp. So we're perfecting the hearing process by service. The service has to have an effect. Prabhupada explained that in a nice lecture on Vyasa, on Govardhan Puja, that the main thing you have to understand is what the effect is of what you're doing and seeing if you're getting it. If you're not getting it, you're not doing it right, and you have to perfect how to do it right. And then you go and see, okay, it's by service, you get the affinity. When you get the affinity, you have the urge. The urge is going to take, have Krishna in your mind. He's going to give you the remembrance of him through the instructions of your intelligence. I'll give you the intelligence by which you come to me. And then you just follow that process, and the effect is affection. Then it becomes a noun. Okay. Any questions? Oh, we got a question. Thank you.
I was just wondering if you're talking about your desire.
Oh, yeah.
There is that saying, I don't know, I guess it's coming from Srila Prabhupada, that the sense gratification is like salt, neither too much nor too little is good. So can you elaborate on that? What does that mean?
Well, like a yogi says, he's moderate in all his activities. Prabhupada would give the example. He gives always such wonderful examples. That if you're riding a horse, you ever ridden a horse? No. Anybody's ridden a horse? Oh, got a couple riders here. So you want to slow down and stop the horse. You know what you do with the reins? You pull them back, and the horse will slow down and stop. You know what happens if you yank on the reins? The horse will buck you off. he'll go up in the air, front legs go off. He's on two legs, and the next thing is you're sliding off his back and landing on the ground, and he leaves anyway. So it says if these senses, you have to deal with them very carefully. Just like, for instance, I sometimes compare it to dieting. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but that's one of the scariest things there is, going on a diet.
Oh, I've
if you want to lose weight, because you're trying to control the senses. So they're going to be so take revenge on you. They're not going to take this sitting down. They'll say, okay, you want a week? All right, I'll wait a week. But when that week's over, I'll be back with a vengeance. You know, so that's not how it works. You know, you can't mechanically see. It's not mechanical. That it's done by a higher taste. So the higher taste is this is Krishna, and Krishna loves you, and we're reciprocating love with him. We can't forget that and make it mechanical, because then the whole thing gets really peculiar. You know, if you try to do it mechanically, he's a person and he knows what you're thinking, he knows what you're feeling, you can't hide from him, which really goes into prayer when you remember that one. Krishna, boy, you know what I was just thinking. You know it even before I did. How do I get out of this? Okay, I got a prayer. Krishna, you have to help me. You know, you just saw what went through my mind. So what am I to do? So he says, read a little bit more Bhagavatam. All right, so then you read a little bit more Bhagavatam, you associate with devotees, you do some nice, wonderful service. You ever watch them make these garlands? You ever look how they make it? Oh, you make stuff too. I was looking the other day when I was doing the questions with the microphone. He takes a little teeny flower, they fold it up in the four pieces, they put it in. And how they do, that's impossible to do. If you paid somebody to do that, could you pay anybody to do that? Nobody, what they'd say would be $200 a garland. You couldn't pay anybody to do that. But it's out of affection. So we're being trained in the service of the spiritual master, all out of love. Everything is done like that. So you just keep that part in mind, and not too much, not too little, because you don't want to get caught up in that. Like, for instance, here's an example. Someone is going to go on a diet, says, I'm not going to think about eating today. I'm not going to think about eating. 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 I'm not going to. And what are they doing the whole time? Thinking about it. But they're thinking, if I put the knot in front of it, it'll be, it didn't happen. But I'm not going to. So the whole time they're thinking about it. So if you get involved with too little or too much, you say, don't bother with it so much. It'll take care of itself. Just concentrate, focus back on doing a good engagement. Like, for instance, suppose you're really busy, you say, oh, I forgot to eat today. So it's not by not thinking about eating that you, in fact, you'll just get hungry. But if you just get busy doing devotional service, then all you say, gee, I forgot about material desires. I wonder if they're still there. Oh, shouldn't have thought about that one. Yeah, they're all still there. They're lurking. But you actually forget about them by doing service. And then if you go to check, you'll find that they're always hanging around waiting for an opportunity. They grow on consciousness. So if you give them any consciousness, they grow. So you have to be very careful about that. Anything else? Thank you. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.